Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What is Pentecost? That's a word that sounds rather strange to us in English because it really isn't an English word at all. The word Pentecost is actually from a Greek word that literally means the 50th. Well, the 50th what, you might wonder? Well, in this case, it's the 50th day. But even that doesn't really tell us very much about what the festival of Pentecost is all about. In the Christian church year, Pentecost is the festival 50 days after Easter, when Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit on his disciples. But even before these events that we read about happening in Acts chapter 2 that we commemorate on this day, even before Jesus rose from the dead, Pentecost was a festival that had been celebrated by the Jews for almost 1,500 years. It was also called in the Bible the Festival of Weeks or the Festival of the Harvest. On this festival, God instructed the people of Israel to bring an offering of the first fruits of the wheat harvest, along with other sacrifices, to offer to God at the temple. It was called in Hebrew the Festival of Weeks, or Greek, in the Greek language, it was called Pentecost, because it was 50 days after the first Sunday after the Passover festival. And so, because Jesus rose from the dead on the first Sunday after the Passover festival, the Feast of Pentecost not only marks about 50 days after the Passover, but it now marks 50 days after Jesus' resurrection. The Festival of Pentecost also has a special new meaning for Christians. We are no longer under the old covenant that God gave to his people on Mount Sinai through Moses, so we no longer have to make all of those sacrifices that God required of his Old Testament people to make on Pentecost. Although it is certainly good for us to remember all of God's blessings to us at this time and at all times. But now we celebrate Pentecost because we remember that it was on this day that Jesus kept his promise to send the Holy Spirit in power upon his disciples. In our gospel reading for today, we read about Jesus giving the promise to his disciples that he would send them the Holy Spirit. He called the Holy Spirit in those verses the Counselor. Jesus told them that soon he would be physically, visibly leaving them. Jesus knew that that same night that he had spoken those words to his disciples, he would soon be betrayed and then put on trial and falsely accused, and then the next day he would be put to death on the cross. Jesus rose from the dead after 3 days, and he spent a little while longer visibly with his disciples. But then, after 40 days after his resurrection from the dead, he ascended into heaven. And so he was no longer visibly present with his people, with his disciples here on earth. That's why Jesus' promise to the disciples to send them the Holy Spirit was so important and so comforting for them. Jesus told the disciples that even though he was visibly departing from them, he would send them the Holy Spirit, who would teach them all things and would remind them of everything that he, Jesus, had said to them. This is something that the disciples needed very much, because so often we see in the Gospels they forgot the promises that Jesus had made to them. Their faith would grow weak, and they would begin to doubt and to worry. But the Holy Spirit would remind them of all the comforting promises that Jesus had made to them. The promise that they are God's children because of Jesus. The promise that all of their sins are forgiven by Jesus' death on the cross. The promise that Jesus is always with them. And the promise that Jesus will come back and will take them to be with himself forever in heaven. And Jesus made this promise of sending the Holy Spirit even more comforting by saying that he does not give as the world gives. That really is very good news. All of us are familiar with the way that the world gives. The very best things that this world has to offer are riches, possessions, health, and success. But those things are things that may be here for a short period of time in our lives, but then so very easily and quickly they can disappear the next day. Riches, health, and pleasure cannot bring us true and lasting peace. Rather, they can only give us an illusion of peace. But Jesus' gift of the Holy Spirit and that gift of spiritual peace are gifts that last forever. They are not gifts that are only here today and then so easily gone tomorrow. When Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit, it is a gift that remains with us forever. And that is why the festival of Pentecost is so important. Because Jesus gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit, just as he promised to us. And after the Holy Spirit was poured out on his church, Jesus never again took away that gift. The Holy Spirit has always been with believers and will always be with believers, forever in this life and for eternal life in heaven. So let's look more closely at the reading from Acts and find out why Jesus' gift of the Holy Spirit is such a special gift for us and what it means for us today. First of all, the thing that might jump out at us most from this reading from Acts chapter 2 is the special signs that accompanied the gift of the Holy Spirit on that Pentecost day. We read in the beginning of our reading, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the rushing of a violent wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw divided tongues that were like fire resting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, since the Spirit was giving them the ability to speak fluently." The sound of a violent rushing wind, tongues of fire appearing on their heads, speaking in other languages which they had not previously learned. Those were all pretty spectacular and visible and amazing signs from God. Right away, the disciples and all the people who were around them realized that this was no ordinary Pentecost festival as had been celebrated among the Jews for the last 1,500 years. No, they recognized that God was doing something very special and out of the ordinary among them on that Pentecost day. God was not merely doing these signs in order to demonstrate his ability to do miraculous signs, in order to show his people that he is all-powerful. No, God had a different purpose for sending the Holy Spirit to give these signs. We read from verse 5. "Now there were godly Jewish men from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When this sound was heard, a crowd came together and was confused, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were completely baffled and said to each other, 'Look, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them speaking in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia and of Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring in our own languages the wonderful works of God.'" Although God did use the sign of the disciples speaking in those other languages to attract a great crowd, it was not simply a sign for the sake of being a sign itself. God gave the disciples the special gift at that time so that they could share the wonderful works of God with all of those people. That is, so that they could tell them the good news about Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead that paid for the sins of the whole world, of people from every nation. These people had come to Jerusalem from many places around Asia, Europe, and Africa. They all came to worship God at the temple in Jerusalem at the festival of Pentecost. They knew about God and about the promises that God had made in the Old Testament, but they did not yet know all the wonderful works that God had accomplished, especially through finally fulfilling the promise of sending the Savior of the world, the Messiah, Jesus. They did not yet know that by Jesus' death, he had paid for the sins of the whole world, and that by his resurrection, he had won eternal life for all people. So God used that miraculous gift of enabling the disciples to speak in other languages in order to enable them to share this good news of salvation through Jesus with all the people who were gathered there from many different places around the known world. And if we continue reading throughout Acts chapter 2, we see that on just that one day, God led about 3,000 people to believe in Jesus as their Savior. And they all were baptized on that day and joined the Church of Believers in Jerusalem. Many Christians today wonder whether God still gives the Holy Spirit in the same way, so that we can do miraculous signs like speaking in other languages that we have never learned before. But God, in his word, does not promise to give these gifts and other gifts like this to all Christians at all times. And as we look at the history of the Christian church, we see that these gifts did not continue to be given by God to people over the next centuries and millennia of the Christian church. So we realize that this is probably because that at that earliest period of the Christian church's history, right after Jesus had ascended into heaven, those believers in Jesus did not have all the books of the New Testament of the Bible to share with other people as God's testimony, the testimony of the good news of Jesus and salvation. And so God confirmed his word that the disciples were speaking and preaching by means of miraculous signs like these that we see in our reading today. But so often we might wish that we also could do miraculous signs as well as those disciples and other members of the early church were enabled to do. Because we might think that if we had the ability, miraculous abilities to do signs like that, we could attract more people to listen to our message, and that it would convince more people to believe in Jesus as the Savior. But when we think in that way, we are actually doubting the power of God's own word. Jesus did not promise to send us the Holy Spirit so that we could do miracles, but he did promise to send us the Holy Spirit to teach us all things and to remind us of everything that Jesus has said, as Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 14 in our gospel reading today. This promise of Jesus was not just for the disciples at that time, but it is for all Christians of all time. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives faith to a person, and the Holy Spirit lives in the hearts of all believers in Jesus. As the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?" And this is also what God promised through the Old Testament prophet Joel, which Peter also quotes here in our reading from Acts chapter 2, to explain to the people the miraculous things that they were seeing on that Pentecost day. In our reading, Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 17, the Apostle Peter quotes from the book of Joel saying, "This is what God says will happen in the last days. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And this will happen. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." When we hear the word prophesy, we almost automatically think of telling something about the future. But prophesy, in its basic meaning, just means to speak for or on behalf of someone else.
So when the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts and gives us faith to believe in Jesus, he also works through us and speaks through us to share that saving message of Jesus with other people. He does not promise to give us miraculous gifts of speaking in other languages that we have never studied or learned before, but he does promise to be with us, to speak through us, to give us courage and boldness, and to remind us of all the words of Jesus and all of God's word that we have heard before, so that when we are speaking to others about the hope that we have, we are not just sharing our own thoughts or ideas, but we are speaking God's own powerful and life-giving gospel. That is a comforting message that we all need to hear. We don't have to wonder whether we have some special miraculous gift from the Holy Spirit. Instead, we listen to the words of Jesus, and we remember that we already have the greatest gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has given us faith to believe that Jesus is our Savior from sin. And we also have the wonderful promise that the Holy Spirit will be with us and will remind us of Jesus' words, and that he will speak through us so that more and more people can hear and believe in Jesus as their Savior. So on this Pentecost day, we pray for God the Holy Spirit to fill us and strengthen us with the good news about Jesus, our Savior. We pray for the Holy Spirit to use us. We pray for him to give us wisdom from his word and to give us boldness to share his word with others. And we pray that many people with whom we share his word will call on the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved, just as God promised in his word. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen.